Good morning. This morning we want to welcome everyone who's with us via telecast, online, radio, and those of us who are in this space. We also want to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. Now I'd like you to join me in the call to worship. As you can see, it says leader and then Spanish or English. You can choose to read in Spanish or English, whatever you decide. No pongan su confianza en gente poderosa, en simples mortales que no pueden salvar. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, cuya esperanza está en el Señor, su Dios. El Señor reina para siempre, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Alleluia, alabado sea el Señor, praise the Lord.
Our first congregational song this morning actually combines two hymns. One is Helpless and Hungry, which is number 26 in the Purple Sing the Storybook. We sing the first verse of that, and then we sing the first verse of What Child Is This?, which you can find in the hymnal at number 215. The slides will keep following along as we go. When we get to the third verse, I'm going to ask this half of the congregation to sing verse 3 of What Child Is This? And this half of the congregation to sing verse 3 of Helpless and Hungry. I'll try to help if I can. I think because we have many things going on, we're going to stay seated for this.
Thank you.
I want to read a verse prior to sharing with you the prayers of the people. This is Romans chapter 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. This morning we shall pray for strength and recovery for the following. Caleb has had a difficult week this past week. We're going to pray for Justin Yoder, who's had an infection. Sylvia Jackson was in the hospital, but she's been released and she's recovering. We will be praying for strength and comfort during a time of bereavement for the following. The family of J.R. Burkholder, Kelly King's father, passed away. He was Then we have Rebecca Summer's son, Neil Yoder, died unexpectedly yesterday of a heart attack. We have some prayers of thanksgiving and rejoicing. Lee and Betty Hostetler have a grandson. Theron Schlabach has a great-grandson. Marie Clemens has a granddaughter. And we rejoice with Geraldine Rivera. She received her work permit, and this gives her a path to citizenship. So, join me in prayer. Father, we come to you because you are merciful and gracious and you invite us. You say that we are welcomed into the throne of grace, where there is abundant mercy and grace for those who believe. And so we come as your children on behalf of our brothers and sisters and friends in this community. And we ask this morning for Caleb and his family, that you would strengthen Caleb and the family. As Justin Yoder recovers and Sylvia Jackson, we ask for strength for them as well. We pray for the families of Kelly Keene and Rebecca Summers, who are in a time of reflection and bereavement. And we thank you for the new additions to the families that were previously mentioned. We also thank you for the blessing you gave Geraldine. But we're also mindful of so many who are on that same road, who are anxious, who are concerned, who are nervous. So as we celebrate one blessing, we're mindful of many others who are still waiting. And we thank you, Lord, for CMC in this community, its work, both here, now, and tomorrow. And we thank you for your many blessings on each and every one of us. Bless those who are out traveling, visiting families and friends, and bless those who are planning to travel to visit family and friends. And we thank you for your many blessings in Christ. Amen.
As children come into the center of the circle for children's time, we will sing Hasiabelin, which is number 20 in the Purple Sing the Story book. It's going to be projected in English and in Spanish. And Alan Peachy and Kevin Miller are going to be singing in Spanish to help support those of us who would like to get Spanish into our tongues and finally into our hearts.
Thank you. morning to all of you. And we are going to, you see this sign here, it says, "We love Caleb."
We love you, Caleb.
Yes, we have, Caleb's had a really rough week this week in New York. And so let's just all, you and you included, give Caleb a wave. He's hopefully watching this morning. We love you, Caleb. Children, as you go now and sit in the circle, Talash is going to give you two palms or fuzzy balls, and I want you to hold them in your hands, okay? Don't be throwing them. We'll do that later, just so you know. And I just want you to hold on to those. Do any of you remember what season of the church year we're in? Okay, we'll go sit down. You remember? December, yes. And Miles? When Jesus is born. Are we in a time of waiting? Advent? Yes. Advent. We've heard that word a little bit. And we have, each Sunday of Advent, we've focused on a different word, haven't we? Do you want to turn around? Do you remember the first word we focused on? It starts with an H. Hope. Do you remember we prayed this prayer of hope? We breathed out hope. Okay. And then the next week, Talasha talked with us about how we sometimes feel anger, and that we did this prayer of and then we breathe in God's peace. Can we do that together? Oh, and we breathe in peace. Well, today we have a different word to focus on, and here's a little clue of what joy. We're going to focus on joy, or alegría. We just sang that in the song. Alegría is the word for joy in Spanish. Well, we are going to pray another special prayer in a little bit, like we did for those other words. But first, I'm going to introduce you to some creatures that I call the grumpies. And I don't know if my children or my niece and nephew, who are now young adults, remember, but when they would sometimes get grumpy and grouchy, and I didn't quite know what to do when they were kind of in this bad mood that they couldn't shake, I would have them imagine that they have some grumpies, and you can imagine it with your puffballs here. And I'd say, take those grumpies and put them in your pocket and shake them all around and see if, when you bring it out, you can have something different, something that's not grumpy or grouchy. It kind of changed their attitude. And most of the time, this just really annoyed them because they were already in a bad mood. But some of the time, it worked, and it made them laugh, and it helped to change their attitude a little bit. And so we did that with imaginary grumpies. We just pretend to put them in our pocket and shuffle them around. But today I brought some actual grumpy creatures that live in the grumpy family house. And I'm going to introduce them to you. So they have some names. This one is Disat. Can you say that together? Disat? Disat. Okay, there's Disat. And this is Isfaction. These are kind of weird names, aren't they? Well, they're brother and sister, so they live in the same family. And if they come together, does it make a word? Any of our readers can say? Dissatisfaction. That's right. So Disat and Isfaction, when they come together in this house of the grumpies, they make dissatisfaction. That's a big word, and do any of you know what it means? We've been talking about grumpies and grouchies.
Do you mean that they don't feel satisfied with themselves?
right, satisfied of themselves or maybe things around them. Well, Madeline's going to be preaching about dissatisfaction today and some things that can help us with that. And I want to explain it a little bit more, too, that it might be that we might just feel like we never have enough or we always want something better. We might be like, this sky is too gray, which we know it gets gray around here, right? But the sky's too gray. My soup is too cold. This sweater's too itchy. Just focusing on everything that's wrong and or doesn't feel good. And that can make us feel pretty grumpy and grouchy sometimes. And that can really steal our joy or our alegría, can it? And it can even steal kind of the joy that Jesus brings us. And Jesus brings, you know, these words that we've been talking about of hope and peace and now joy are things that we're waiting for when we wait for the birth of Jesus, because these are things that Jesus brings to each of us and to our whole big, wide world, and they are gifts to us. Now, do you think happiness and joy are the same thing? No? No? You're right, they aren't. Happiness is kind of like a little bit more like our moods when we're grouchy or grumpy or we're happy and excited, and they can come and go, but joy is much deeper, and it's kind of hard to explain, but it can just fill us from our head to our toes, and even when we're sad, we can still have joy. It's just an amazing thing how that works. It kind of is underneath everything. See how even in this floor of the grumpy's house, there's a yellow floor, and we'll pretend that this yellow represents the joy. It's there, always there with them, even if they're grumpy and they're dissatisfied and they're arguing with one another and they don't have smiles on their faces, there's still some joy around them, and that's the joy that Jesus brings to us. Okay, so you've got these fuzzy balls, right? We're going to pray a prayer of hoping for joy, okay? And you can take these fuzzies as a symbol of your grumpies and your grouchies and your dissatisfaction. So let's grab them really tight. I don't have any, so I'm gonna grab these guys, right? And I want you to hold them really tight. And how we're going to pray is that we're going to give these over to God and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So when I say 1, 2, 3, we're going to throw them up and say, here you go. Here you go, God. And then after we've released them, we're going to say, bring us joy. We're going to raise our hands big and say, bring us joy. Okay? Are you ready? All right, 1, 2, 3. Here you go, God. All right, bring us joy. Amen. Okay, you can take these back with you to help you remember this story and help you think of what you can do with those grumpies and dissatisfaction, and you can get your worship bags. Blessings to each of you. Take them with you.
And we will sing number 189, To Us a Child of Hope is Born.
Oh,
Our preacher this morning is Madeline. She is part of the pastoral team. And I will be reading in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 through 16. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Then Isaiah said, Listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. Let's pray. Father, use your daughter according to your pleasure and for your glory. Usa tu sierva para tu honra y para tu gloria. En el nombre de Jesús. Amen.
No kiss.
No kiss.
I wasn't going to let him step off the platform without giving me a kiss. It's been quite a while that I don't preach. A long, long time. But it's an honor for me to be here and share with you what God has placed in my heart to share with you. And I give you a disclaimer. I don't always read the Bible the way most people read it and understand it. I have a special way of sometimes seeing things. So I'm going to share with you this morning how I read this. And I titled it Dissatisfied because I believe that the Bible demonstrates something to us that sometimes we can see ourselves in. So, in order for us to understand the verses that were just read, we must first understand what is happening in this story. In the previous verses of the same chapter, we get the background, the backdrop to what's going on. And if I slip and start speaking some things in Spanish, remember, I do this language flip in my head. So if I say Acaz instead of Ahaz, it's Ahaz because it's Acaz in Spanish, or Acaz. Acaz. Ahaz was the king of Judah during the 8th century before Common Era, as we start to say it now. Just like today, empires try to take land to demonstrate their power. What is happening here is that there is a king named Rezin of Syria and a king named Pekah of Israel. They form an alliance to attack Judah. The reason that they form this alliance, and I'm cutting this short, is because Judah did not want to participate in an attack against the Assyrian king who wanted to take control of the region. When the house of David, where King Ahaz was reigning, and the people heard what was going on, they were filled with so much fear that the Bible tells us that their hearts trembled or shook like the trees of the forest before the wind. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being filled with so much fear that your body trembles? It says their heart trembled, but I can imagine that their whole being trembled. They were scared. If we are sincere, politics can do that. And the desire for power can truly create fear. I come from a group of people who are in fear all the time because of their color. And not to add, in our society, there are other groups of people of color who live in fear all the time. If a police officer turns on their lights in their car, people tremble in fear. So sometimes when I read words like this in scripture, I can sort of relate to what I am reading because I can place myself in that situation. And I repeat it again, if we are sincere, politics and the desire for power can truly create fear in some of us. To find yourself between the sword and the wall has to be terrifying. It was for this reason that the Lord told Isaiah to take his child, correct me if I say it wrong, Sher Hashub, did I say it right? Sher Hashub, and meet with Ahaz. And basically, this is the message he gives him. Be alert, but don't fear these two. Don't fear these two leaders. They are like tree stumps that smolder. And again tells him, if you do not believe in my words, if you don't have faith in me, you will not be firm. What God is telling Ahaz is this: if you don't believe, you are going to suffer. That suffering was not just for Ahaz, but for all of the people of Judah. Ahaz does not listen to these words. I'm not sure what was going on in his heart. He doesn't want to. And that's why in verse 10, God speaks to him and says like this: ask for a sign of the Lord your God. Can you imagine someone speaking to you and telling you, ask God for a sign? From the deepest of the deepest place, or the highest place like heaven, ask for a sign. You know, when I read this, I kind of sat back and thought about it, and I kind of remembered the times that I talked to my kids, and I would give them, and Alice is sitting here, and I would kind of give them warnings, like, I knew what was going on, and I knew what they were doing, and I would kind of ask, like, some weird questions or say some weird things like God is doing here. God knew what was going on with Ahaz. He knew what was in his heart. He knew what was happening. But he's kind of telling him, letting him know, listen, I know, and I'm telling you, ask me for the sign so that I can reveal the things that I know that you act like you can't see or that you don't know. Does that make sense? Sometimes my kids gave me these weird looks like, I don't know about you. What? I gotta put myself in that place to think that God is talking to me and saying, ask me for a sign. Like, almost ask me for a sign of what you think is impossible. God is allowing Ahaz to choose from where the sign came from. Truly, Ahaz was not a wise king. He refuses, acting like he knows God, and responds by saying that he doesn't want to tempt him. Really? Don't want to tempt God? A sign of piety? Absolutely not. The truth is that Ahaz was allying himself or creating an alliance with the Assyrian king. He had placed his trust in a mortal person instead of the King of Kings. And although he refuses the sign, God gives him one and starts speaking to him. He addresses him formally by calling out the formal name of his kingdom, the House of David. And he gives him promises, and he also gives him some things that are going to happen that are not all that great. The story is one of a national crisis and a king who doesn't believe that God is on his side or God is there for him and can help him. I ask myself, as I do many times, when I ask myself, why don't believers believe? Why is this king feeling this way? Why can't he see that God is with him? That God has been with his people this whole time? God says here, we read in the beginning of the book of Isaiah, God speaks to the nation, I have raised children and they have rebelled against me. A nation filled with iniquity and corrupt children who have turned their backs on the Holy One of Israel. This nation pretended to be deaf. They couldn't hear. They acted that way. They did not serve him in love and humility. They did not show love to their neighbors. They mistreated those that were among them. If you read the whole book, you'll notice that they offered sacrifices that had no meaning to God in his temple. In other words, they went to church, and they went to church because that was the thing to do, in other words. They continually committed injustices against those who were in need. They turned their backs against God, and that's why he speaks to them in this way, in a hope that they return toward him by using signs such as the child, Emmanuel, God with us. God was dissatisfied. He was dissatisfied with his people. Now, okay, as you can probably tell, I'm one of those persons who thinks the Bible is practical. Although it's a historic book, it gives us patterns on how to live out and practice out our faith in our present day. If you do not know these stories, I urge you to read them. And I read a little bit of the, or I told you a little bit of the story before it, because I know some of you know it, but there's many of us here that may not know the backdrop to that, what was going on. And I didn't get into more because it's really long, and I think my Bible teacher may be happy with me, maybe not. If you do not know these stories, read them. Si no conocen estas historias, léanla. They are fascinating. Like a movie that although it makes your heart beat fast and you want to hide your face because something is horrifying in it, you can't stop watching it because you want to see good prevail. There is always a remnant of people, a remnant that are God's people in these biblical stories, a group of faithful people. And although it may seem that God is speaking to only one person in this story, I believe he is speaking to all the people. And this remnant needed to hear that God was with them. They needed to hear those words to gain strength to survive what was happening and what was about to happen. Faith, believing in what's not seen. Do you feel dissatisfied? Does it seem like everything around you goes wrong and you feel helpless, like you can't do anything about it? Do you feel like you want to take those fuzzies, like I need some of those fuzzies, and walk around with them in my pockets all the time? So does God. The present condition of our world is not what God intended for his creation. God's plan was for humanity to be in a complete state of well-being, and that not only would he take care of us, but that humanity would take care of each other. Now, if God is with us, the dark times, and it's very dark for some of us, and it seems like the light is never going to shine through, those dark times will end, and the bright, shiny days will arrive, filled with the light of God. Dissatisfied with what is happening around you, the injustices, God reveals himself to those around us through us. Raise your voice against what is unjust and act against it in whichever way you are able. Remember this during this time that we celebrate the birth of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Be filled with joy. There are dark times, there are tough times, but God is calling and depending on a group of people that call themselves his followers, believers in the unseen. That we, through him, will change the world. Blessings.
Our response song is a song of turning. My heart cries, my soul cries out. Number 124 in the Sing the Storybook. We have Spanish lyrics for this song this time, and we're going to start by singing the refrain in Spanish, and then we will go back and sing all of the verses. And when you sing the verses, they're available to you in English and in Spanish.
Thank you.
This morning, during the God at Work, John Keane won't be with us, but I got an email from, here we go. I was watching and waiting. You saw that, eh?
I am not John King. I'm Sam Yoder. Good morning. I am here on behalf of the Administration Commission to thank you for your generous giving to the Ministries Fund this year. It is amazing that we are just days away from the end of our calendar year and from the halfway point of our financial year ending in June 2020. Early this month, the board chair, Becky Horst, and Pastor Phil Waite mailed us a letter urging us to consider giving a year-end gift for the 2019 year-end, giving to the Ministry Fund, the fund formerly known as the General Fund. Giving to the CMC Ministries Fund maintains our physical space so that we can gather together in community. This fund helped us welcome 12 new members in 2019. This fund allows us to show children the love of God, providing a place for them to learn and grow, safely teaching them what it is to be a part of the family of God, our CMC family. The Ministries Fund has enabled new outreach ministry, allowing us to call the Maldonados to minister with us to Goshen community and beyond our borders. The Ministries Fund continues to make it possible to call pastors to minister among us, to care for those of us who are hurting and grieving, to teach and admonish us, to encourage and welcome us. It is a true joy and blessing to be a part of this community. As framed in Becky and Phil's letter, you can help us continue these ministries and more by giving. You can give online, by mail, during offering time, or by stopping in the church office. In their letter, they closed with this: "In Christ, whose light we celebrate this season, let us celebrate giving of our time, talents, and money as we welcome the birth of Christ. Thank you for your continued giving. God bless you."
I was also asked to share a few words, and I thought about this, and here's my go at it. Hours become days, days become weeks, weeks months, and months, obviously years, and here we are at the end of the year. And during this last year, CMC's pastoral team has been busy on many fronts, whether it's with discipleship, connecting with youth or college students, whether it's pastoral care or community outreach. We have been very busy, and we look back, and at least I look back and I say, where did 2019 go? We're already making plans for next year. So your giving throughout the year has made that possible, that your pastoral team is boots on the ground all the time in different fronts. So as you consider and pray about your year-end giving, keep this in mind. As you give, we move. And as we move, God moves as well. If we want God to do something, He waits for us to move, and He will move. So thank you for your support, and keep this in mind. Maddie?
At this time, we invite you to bring your offering forward. I will move the basket. Those of you who can and are able, bring your offerings forward. If you don't want to get up from your seat or you're not able to, there will be ushers that will come through and collect your offering. Let us give thanks for God's many blessings. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. I thank you for all the people that bring their gifts here, whether it be monetary or whether it be with themselves. I thank you for everything that you have provided for us. I thank you for all the people that you have brought and added to this church this year. And I ask you that you continue to bless your people so that they can give freely and abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final song is one that we have been singing through this Advent season, Magnificat. Magnificat anima mea Dominum. This is the first line out of Mary's song that comes from the Gospel of Luke and is a little fragment of this passage in Luke that we sang My Soul Cries Out, is also based on Mary's song in that gospel. We are going to sing this as a canon, and I'm going to invite this section here, but not the balcony, to start. This section to be the second group. Those who are not in the choir and the balcony to be the third group, and the choir is the fourth group. We will sing the whole little short song through four times. So when your section is completed, its fourth time through, you can take a rest and listen to the beauty of surrounds you. I invite you to stand.
During this season of Advent, we reflect upon God becoming, God walking among us, God reaching out to us. And being mindful of this, I bless you as you do the same. I bless you as you walk throughout our community and you do the same. You mimic God. So go in peace, extend welcome, and especially extend welcome to new faces among us. Blessing to you. Also, I want to invite you to the Christmas tree at the fellowship hall.